Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now skip down to verse number 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts. And I fell before the throne on their faces, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. We thank you that you alone can supply the truth and the meaning of what has been written in the Holy Scriptures. By your Spirit, Lord, you give men the ability to look into the future as you have written what's going to come to pass during the end of the age and the time of the end, which is the day of the Lord. And so we look to thee, and we're asking this morning for your mercy and for your power by your Spirit. You have said in your scriptures, in Luke 11:13, how much more shall the Lord give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we're asking this morning, Lord, for your Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit, to bring forth the truth and to expose what your word says, that we might know the truth and that the truth might set us free. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. This is the second message in a series we entitled The Passing of the Torch. Here in Revelation chapter 7, there's a pause as the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is opening the seals on the outside of the scroll which he took from the Father's hand in Revelation chapter 5. And here in Revelation 6, the passage just before what we've read, he has opened six seals, with the sixth seal being the sign of the day of the Lord and his coming. Then there is a pause, because the scripture says here in verse 1 of Revelation 7, and after these things. So before he opens the seventh seal, which will happen in Revelation chapter 8, before he opens that seal, there are two major events that occur. And they're set off by the phrase, and after these things. Verse 1, verse 9. After this, which in effect says the identical thing in the Greek text. After these things. So two events set off in order to show that before the seventh seal is opened and the day of the Lord begins, exposing the scroll, what's within that scroll, two events, which we began to cover in the first message, show that God has something to do before the wrath comes upon the earth, before his day of the Lord judgment, which he will send by his angels in the seven trumpets and the seven vials and the judgment of Babylon and the battle of Armageddon, all included in the day of the Lord as the book of Revelation begins to unfold in those future events through chapters 7 on through chapter 19. God's judgment is described. And as we have seen in part 1 of the messages here, this message clearly focuses on these two major events. The 144,000 become God's representatives as they are sealed, we've read there, and the saints are raptured and appear in heaven. The saints of the ages is this great innumerable multitude that appear in heaven who have been taken out of the great tribulation according to Revelation 7, verse 14. So, we've got a mystical group called the 144,000. Not much appears to be said about them other than God chooses them out of the 12 tribes of Israel. He seals them for protection. He puts his name, his signature on their foreheads, according to Revelation 14, verse 1, and they are his representatives on earth during the day of the Lord, during the time when the saints are taken out of the earth before God's wrath comes, because the saints have been promised to be delivered from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. So they're home in heaven. The saints have been raptured, but the 144,000 remain. If these men are saints of God, why were they raptured up into heaven? How could they be God's children and not be taken up with the great multitude? In order to answer these questions, we have to recognize just where we are in God's program. At this point in time, we are well into what is known as Daniel's 70th week. The period known as the Day of the Lord is about to begin, according to Revelation 6, 12 through 17. God begins dealing with his chosen people, the earthly people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, in these last 7 years of Daniel's prophesied time period, which is 490 years in duration. 483 years of those 70 weeks have passed into history, but there's a 7-week period according to Daniel 9, verse 27. There's a 7-week period that remains in the future called Daniel's 70th week. In Daniel 9:43, or in Daniel 9:24, the angel says to Daniel, 70 weeks have been determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And then he mentions there's 6 events that will take place during these 70 weeks, which none of them have come to pass as of this point. They will all come to pass during the 70th week of Daniel upon the Jews as a nation. At this point where we are, where the 144,000 are sealed and the rapture occurs just before the wrath of God begins, the 70th week of Daniel is almost over. There may be but a few years left before these 7 years are finished. We must recognize that the Lord always brings those whom he has chosen into his family the same way, and that is by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In the Old Testament era that ran its course until John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit of God did not indwell all those who believed. This blessing of the indwelling Spirit of God was and now is the promise of the Father, according to Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4, Acts 2:33, and Acts 2:39. It's the promise of the Father which was given after to the church after Jesus ascended to heaven and was glorified on the day of Pentecost, as taught in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2. It is theoretically possible that the 144,000 who are Jews will be redeemed under the old covenant principles that appears to be in effect during those last 7 years. Daniel 11:28-32 speaks of the holy covenant on a number of occasions. during the 70th week of Daniel, and they may not receive the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Then, when the rapture occurs, they will remain to serve the Lord, as they don't have the earnest of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 1:22, in their hearts. The earnest, or down payment, which is the indwelling Holy Spirit, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, which is the rapture, of the purchased possession, Ephesians 1:14, which in short means that those with the indwelling Spirit will be raptured, those without will not. Now, those who believe God just as Abraham, and he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6, those men and women and children will be bona fide children of God, just as they were in the past during the Old Testament era. But they might not possess the indwelling Spirit who supplies the believer with the means whereby they are raptured into heaven. The graves will open, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain, those with the indwelling Spirit, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This theory that I'm setting forth here is based upon the fact that there are two other groups of believing Jews who will remain on earth after the rapture. The two witnesses, they'll prophesy for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, Revelation chapter 11. The rapture occurs during this 3.5 year time period according to the Lord's chronological unfolding of the end of the age in Matthew 24, verse 4 to 31. And then the woman, the faithful nation of Israel, in Revelation 12, 6 and 14, is shown to be on earth for this same time period, this same 3.5 years, the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. During the 70th week, God's plan of redemption may revert to the restored Holy Covenant period, Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Matthew 17:11, where he sends Elijah the prophet to restore all things, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, God, once again, during that time, as we stated earlier, deals with the nation of Israel just as he did during the previous 483 years, or 69 weeks, of Daniel's 70th week, which ended with the cross of Jesus Christ, according to Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Now, if that's the case, there'll be believers in the church who enter the 70th week of Daniel, but when those last seven years begin, God will once again deal with the Jews as a nation under the old covenant. And so the passing of the torch will be accomplished, as we see here in Revelation 7. The 144,000 are sealed. They, in fact, will carry the gospel message and be God's priests unto God, his believer priests, during the day of the Lord. This chosen group of men will remain on earth as they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, Revelation 14:4. This indicates their full and complete dedication to his will. This mighty group of disciples will witness of their own redemption and their glorious Lord and Savior, that's Jesus Christ, their Messiah, to those who will remain, Jew and Gentile alike, during that great and dreadful day of the Lord when God judges the earth and those unbelievers who remain upon the earth remain unrepentant. These 144,000 will be supernaturally protected from the cataclysmic judgment of God as indicated in Revelation 9:4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal or signature of God in their foreheads. That's Revelation 9, verse 4. Here is the confirmation for the purpose of the signature of God in the foreheads of the 144,000. It's a protection that God gives them. It shows his ownership. It shows his possession of these men, that they are his, they are servants of God, Revelation 7, verse 3, and they will be supernaturally protected at the beginning of the day of the Lord, and they'll be protected from the tormenting judgment of the fifth trumpet. Now, we've got to recognize here that what I've been preaching and the facts that I've unfolded here is merely a theory of how things may unfold during the time of the end concerning these groups of God's children. However, it's based upon biblical truth and could well be the way the Lord brings about his plan for the end times. He could also just choose to keep them on earth as his servants, regardless of the method of their salvation, because the scripture clearly shows that there are two other groups that remain, and they are also Jews. If we examine the scripture that describes these two groups, it will be obvious as to who they are and where they fit into God's plan. The believers here, the great multitude that we've read about here, that are in heaven after the 144,000 are sealed. Now, the 144,000 have at least 12 descriptive attributes that give us the information necessary to determine their specific role during the day of the Lord. The first of these 12 is found in Revelation 7:3. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. We've already covered their sealing or signature. The second attribute tells of their duty to God. They are called servants, which literally means slave or bondservant. This title is reserved for those who have surrendered their lives to the Lord for his service and glory. Paul, James, John, Peter, Moses, and the prophets are some of the men that are described by this word in the New Testament. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is described using this word, as he came as a servant. To be served was not his plan, but he came to serve as a bondservant of God the Father. These are not just nominal or newly saved children of God. No, these are the cream of the crop, the best there is on the planet, chosen and choice bondservants of the living God. The third attribute mentioned is found in Revelation 7:4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children, or sons. That's what that word indicates by its gender. It's masculine in gender, the sons of Israel. Here we can see that they are sons, and that indicates they're men. Simple stuff, huh? The Lord also makes it clear that their heritage or bloodline is from his earthly chosen people, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The tribe of Dan is omitted completely. And the tribe of Ephraim, although it's missing in name, those in the tribe of Ephraim are sealed under the name of Joseph, as he had only two sons, Manasseh, who is mentioned in the list here, which follows in Revelation 7:5-8. So Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph's two sons. This brings up another question. Who is a Jew? Is a Jew a self-proclaimed proselyte of Judaism? Is a Jew one who wears the Orthodox garb and seen on the news at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? No, a Jew is one who is of the bloodline of the original 12 sons of Jacob, as listed in Genesis 49. Their fourth attribute, these 144,000, is found in Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. These select servants of God are seen with the Lamb. The only group that are seen with the Lamb, that's also mentioned in Revelation 17, verse 14, as they are with him during the battle with the 10 kings. They are with the Lamb. It appears that they are inseparable, the Lamb and these men, as the Lord's presence on Mount Zion at the end of the 70th week is recorded in Revelation 14:1. The next thing we are told concerns their ability. Here it says in Revelation 14:3, and no man could learn that song. That's the new song being sung before the throne by the harpers in heaven and the 144,000 on earth. That magnificent chorus that is celebrating the fact that the kingdoms of our God, Revelation 11:15, at the end of the 70th week, have become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdoms of the earth. Now, these are the only ones on earth that can learn the new song, which will be played by the heavenly harpers, according to Revelation 14. Their extraordinary musical ability is demonstrated here as they sing unto the Lord, with the scene there in Revelation 14 taking on a holy heavenly aura before the throne, with both heaven and earth harmonizing in instrument and song. Also in verse 3 of Revelation 14, we're told of their redemption. It says they were redeemed from the earth. The focal point of all of Scripture is the word redemption. Here, this word redemption emphasizes the price, that's capital P, the price that was paid for the redemption, which is the buying back of something that was sold into a slave market, which in fact is already owned by God because He created all that exists. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. Yeah, we belonged to God before we received Him as our Savior, and He bought us out of the slave market of sin. The price, the precious blood of Christ. God gave the life of His own Son to buy back out of the slave market of sin the souls of men which He already owned. Underline the price that was paid, this precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this prized group of men, they stand upon Mount Zion with the Lamb, one of the first and last titles to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. When He appeared before John the Baptist, He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John knew who He was before He went to the cross. He was God's Lamb, God's personal sacrifice, so that God's judgment could be appeased through the blood of His own Son, that the sin of the world might be taken away. And then in Revelation 22:3, that same title, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it," speaking of heaven. So the Lamb of God, the Bible is a book of redemption. No less than 28 times the Lord takes the Old Testament redemption title, the Lamb of God, in this final book of Scripture, which has as its emphasis throughout its entirety the glorious topic of redemption. Then, Revelation 14, verse 4, tells of their undefiled physical purity. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They have given themselves fully to the Lord. They have kept themselves pure physically, thereby lessening one of the great temptations that in the last days of this age will be at its heightened level, drawing men into sin. These are they," then it says, "which follow the Lamb wherever He goes." This brief but fully descriptive statement indicates their total dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow Him. This simple chorus should be the heart song of all who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Then it says in Revelation 14:4, not only were they redeemed from the earth, they were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Here, this same word, redeemed, is used describing the purchase of these men, once again emphasizing the price, but an additional statement reveals their unique position of being the first fruits, or the first to be redeemed under the old covenant of that future harvest of Israelites, during the 70th week of Daniel. Their moral purity is also indicated. In Revelation 14, verse 5, it says, "And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." The word guile lays emphasis on lies or falsehoods. Without fault indicates their blameless conduct. These men, as part of the believing remnant of Israel, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. Zephaniah 3, verse 13, prophesies of these men. Now, this attribute provides them with a continual abiding access before the throne of God. Therefore, these different attributes shows that this mighty group of end times disciples of Christ is clearly identified as sealed by the signature of God, number one, Revelation 7, 3. Number two, they are servants of God, Revelation 7, 3. Number three, they are sons of Israel, Revelation 7, verse 4. Number four, they are standing with the Lamb of God, Revelation 14, 1. Number five, they are singing a new song, Revelation 14, 3. They are saved from the earth, Revelation 14, 3. They are sanctified physically, Revelation 14, 4. They are surrendered saints, Revelation 14, 4. And also they are saved from among men, Revelation 14, verse 4. They are saved as the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. They are sanctified morally, and they are serving before the throne of God. In order to realize the potential of this magnificent group of disciples of Christ, consider their number, 144,000. That reveals that they'll be a mighty dynamic force for Christ during the end times when they follow him wherever he goes. Remember, they are 12,000 times his original group of 12 disciples who turned the world upside down during the beginning of this age. While the world has exponentially grown since those days, their impact will be tremendously effective indeed for the gospel of Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation, Daniel 11, 32-35, Daniel 12, 3, Daniel 12, 10, when they are being prepared for their day of the Lord redemption ministry as priests unto God, as God's believer priests. They will be the instruments of God's mercy to those Jews and Gentiles who will be saved during the closing days of this age and the following time period called the Great and Dreadful Day of the Lord, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. They'll be ready. They will be willing to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, John 1, 29. Our Father, we thank you for your plan. We thank you for your preparation as you are bringing things to pass according to Scripture, bringing the world and its inhabitants to the place where you deem ready for the final time called the Day of the Lord. We thank you for that, and we praise you for your great power and the great glory which you will receive as your plan unfolds and as you call out these young men, preparing them to serve you in that time. And Lord, I pray that we would be winning souls for Jesus. Might that be our battle cry, souls for Jesus, as we look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us home. In his name we pray. Amen.